Edward Cabrera has indeed been traded, and it's not to the New York Yankees. Ken Rosenthal reporting that the Chicago Cubs are acquiring Edward Cabrera. So it's not really about us breaking down the Cubs. It's more this was clearly a Yankee target, Cabrera, who I'm mixed on. Like,
yeah,
he throws 96, 97. He's got a nasty sinker. He's got electric stuff. He's got team control. He's pitched relatively well. He has an injury history, which would be my concern. I do think he has a massive upside, and you'd have him for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. So I was talking with a buddy of mine who's a Yankee fan because he was like, would you prefer Freddy Peralta or Edward Cabrera? And for the long term, the answer is Edward Cabrera. Right. I also think his stuff could have translated well to the bullpen if he was moved there. But this deal didn't come about. And I'm going to speculate openly that a part of why this deal didn't happen is because they still haven't figured out the Cody Bellinger situation.
Exactly.
And I think the moment they do, we'll add more clarity to the availability of a Spencer Jones or a Jason Dominguez. So I think the Cody Bellinger holdup is affecting other aspects, including potentially acquiring Edward Cabrera.
Which is a problem, but I'm not as a Yankee fan going to be, oh my God, we didn't get Edward Cabrera. I know other Yankee fans differ. I believe that the Yankee rotation is deep, even with the injuries to start the year. It's not to say you can't have enough starting pitching. But I think what happened here, Evan, right now is the Yankee fans finally got like a little taste of a rumor that they were close on something. Now you see the Cubs do it, and you're going to get all the backlash. What are we doing? What are we doing?
Here's the good news about the rumor. The Yankees are clearly going to acquire a starting pitcher.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if it's Mackenzie Gore, who I'd actually prefer over any of the other guys. I'm not sure if it's Freddy Peralta, which is more of a rental, but a high-end rental because he's an ace-like pitcher. But it feels like this offseason's headed in the direction of they're going to keep Bellinger, at least they're certainly trying,
yeah.
And I think they're going to acquire a starting pitcher via trade.
I'm just fascinated on what the hell they do, and I know you can't count us when all the guys are healthy in May.
That's a good problem, Sean.
I know. It's a good problem until you have somebody upset, like when Marcus Stroman said he was a starting pitcher.
Well, forget about that, because Marcus Stroman isn't here. I'll give you three answers to that question very quickly before your Cinco. Number one, they won't all be healthy. I mean, Edward Cabrera himself, he's just an example, has an injury history. Like, guys yeah. get hurt. So
Cole Fried and Schlittler better be healthy.
I get it, but not all will be healthy at the same time. Option number two, which I'm a big proponent of, especially with Cole coming off of Tommy John, is a six-man rotation. I think it makes sense. I thought it made sense for the Mets last year. I didn't think it made sense for the Yankees at times. I think it does make sense when you've got a rehabbing Gerrit Cole. Mm-hmm. And eventually, if he comes back healthy, or rehabbing Clark Schmidt. I love that idea.
Yeah.
The other idea is...
But you have that regardless if Clark Schmidt comes back.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying, like, yeah, okay. That's an option in May.
Right.
And then the other option is moving somebody to the bullpen. So,
yeah.
I think they're all good things that you can do. Like, you're laying out a first-world problem. What if I have too many starters? I don't know. I'll feel bad for you.
I know. And mark my words. The Yankees are going to be down to, like, just Fried in June, and Evan's going to pull this tape and go, what did I tell you?
Well, because it's true. It's like when Tiki argues and says, well, they have enough pitching. You never have enough pitching.
I only say they have enough.
It's not a cliche. It's true.
I only say they have enough pitching in the realm of I have other priorities, like handling Bellinger before I'm worried about the rotation.
That is different. And clearly their priority is handling Bellinger because they did not pull off this trade for Edward Cabrera. I'm getting hungry. I think it's lunchtime.
Sean Moraes in the booth. Somebody hide the castle. Hot ticks flying, phones ringing, Evan's yelling.
No!
Tiki's laughing, chaos cracking, nobody's in control. It's Cinco de Roncho. Bam! Crunch! Let's go!
Cinco de Roncho is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. Simply, the five reasons it will suck if Jim Harbaugh is not... Which one have we hired?
John.
It will suck if John Harbaugh is not the Giants coach. Here we go.
Here we go.
Number five.
We already know there is a 0.0% chance the Giants are picking in the top five next year if John Harbaugh is their head coach. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of at the end of the year going, tank, tank, tank. Don't have to worry about it.
I know. I know it's fun on draft day, and it's fun maybe in the lead up to the draft, but the end of regular seasons where you're thinking about draft positioning is brutal.
Exactly.
More on that in a second.
All right, here we go.
Number four.
We got excited about the Koch family flush of cash becoming minority ownership. Be the highest bidder. You have the extra cash. Don't let that get in the way. Make him have to say no to the most money imaginable. Here we go.
Number three.
Part of the reason reportedly he's out in Baltimore is he fought for his offensive coordinator, Todd Monken. He brings the exact kind of down-the-field attack you want with Malik Nabers and Jackson Dart. It's actually a perfect fit. Here we go.
Number two.
He is the closest available living example to Tom Coughlin that has aligned with a Giants vacancy since Tom Coughlin left.
It's tough to argue that. I mean, he's more accomplished than Tom. Yeah. Yeah, Tom had a great resume with Jacksonville, two AFC championship games. John's got a freaking Super Bowl.
And I'm not counting Vrabel. First of all, Harbaugh won a Super Bowl. I'm just talking about now they're available the same year the Giants have a vacancy.
I get you.
All right, and here we go.
Number one.
After all the buzz we have been pushed down our throats as Giants fans that the Giants have the best available job, if the best available coach doesn't come to the best available job, isn't it safe to say the Giants' stubbornness in keeping failed GM Joe Shane is a big reason why?
Yeah.
Can't let Joe Shane get in the way.
No, if Joe Shane gets in the way, like, I disagreed with bringing him back. You disagreed with bringing him back. I think most Giant fans did. Most people did. But one thing I've learned in sports is we scream and yell about it, and then we got to move on. Like, what are we going to do? We're going to scream about it forever? Like, I've tried to cope with Pete Alonso. I can't scream about it all the time. But if it hinders getting a big-time head coach, that'd be a problem. And that would reinforce why it was a bad decision to bring him back. Luckily, early returns, especially from Ian O'Connor, who's clued in, is that it shouldn't be a problem. Speaking of tanking.
Okay.
Before I play this clip, I want to acknowledge I'm aware it's a joke, but you can kind of get in trouble for joking. I've learned that. Like, all jokes aren't like, oh, I'm exonerated from anything. Did you hear what Adam Peters said the other day?
I didn't.
Adam Peters, of course, GM of the Washington Commanders.
Correct.
Was asked very eloquently by a reporter, did you consider tanking? Like, did you consider losing the game for draft positioning? Here is Adam's answer along with head coach Dan Quinn.
If we win a game in the last week, it could affect draft status and the importance perhaps of that. Even if you say we're not going to worry about that, do you weigh in on those matters?
I told him to tank and he just said no. You know, that game was important.
No. I mean, it's a joke, but come on, man.
Now, yeah, they're lucky they won because I think it becomes a bigger deal if they had lost to the Eagles.
Yeah, I don't think he makes the joke if they lose to the Eagles.
Probably true.
Like, I know he's obviously it's a joke, but sometimes.
What? It's a joke.
You would think it's a sensitive subject around the league because tanking is not healthy. It's not good for the sport. We've talked about it.
And yet teams like the Cowboys could do it. No penalty.
Well, yeah.
Don't think that's argue with it. Look, just because you're not going
to. And the Giants last year.
Right.
With Malik Nabers not playing at
the
time.
And just because it doesn't involve the number one pick doesn't mean it's not tanking in some way, shape, or form. No, you're not going all out to win.
Honestly, the most famous one doesn't involve the number one pick. It involves you not winning the division under Joe Judge in 2020 when Doug Peterson and the Philadelphia Eagles decided, screw it, we're not going to try to win a football game.
Yep.
So you're right. And I think that's probably the most impactful example of quote unquote tanking.
Joe Judge might still be the coach.
I know, it's an alternate history. Probably not, but, you know, you talk a lot about coach of the year, like Daboll won one, Stefanski won two. Winning a division championship and hosting a playoff game.
At 6-10.
It doesn't matter.
It's still
a thing. You know what I mean? So if they would have won that, or they did win the game, if they would have gotten the proper help from the Philadelphia Eagles, and they did host a playoff game that year against Tom Brady, right?
It would have been against Tom Brady with no fans.
That would have been unbelievable.
Would have been crazy.
And maybe you beat him.
Maybe. Washington hung in there that
night. I remember. That whole thing was so weird, 2020.
Yeah.
It's one of those sports years you're like, did that really happen? Let's get back to your calls, 888-808-1019. Connor Hughes, one of the best reporters out there, will join us at 1 o'clock. More insight on what's going on with this coaching search. Ray is in the Bronx. Hey, Ray.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up?
Just want to call up Todd McShay. That story is total fake news about the Jets. You got to remember, he's like best friends with Joe Douglas.
No, and that's why
the University of Richmond.
That is why I play way too much stuff on this show, as Sean will testify. So much audio, right?
Uh-huh.
I never considered even getting involved in that discussion because it was fake, and it was also, in fairness, Todd McShay saying, I would advise my clients to not play for the Jets.
Correct.
Which he has every right to have that stupid opinion, but I think it was let out as this is what's happening. No one actually wants to play for the Jets as if it's a fact and it's reporting. And it wasn't. And yes, Ray brings up the other aspect of it, and that is he's very close with Joe Douglas, and there's certainly a lot of bitterness for the way things ended. So I don't take it seriously. All I take out of it is that the narrative of LOL Jets lives strong.
Yeah, it does. Plus, Peyton Manning didn't want to play for the Jets. Let's remember. That happened.
Well, do you remember how many of we do this again?
No, I just know it would aggravate you. I just wanted to get that side.
It actually doesn't aggravate me. It's just more of I have to explain what I learned over the last couple of years.
I'm a big fan of hearing Evan going, do I have to do this again? It's one of my favorite games to play.
I don't want
to
do it. So should I just move on?
Move on. We don't need it.
All right. I'll paraphrase. It's not that Peyton Manning didn't want to play for the Jets. It's that Bill Parcells wouldn't make a guarantee to the Manning family.
Uh-huh. So you did it anyway. You rehashed it anyway.
I didn't rehash it.
Evan, remember, we only have 4 hours now, not four and a half. Okay? We keep the train moving.
It was 9 seconds. I just wanted to put it out there. Aaron's in Pennsylvania. Hey, Aaron.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Wonderful. What's up?
Hey, I think it would be an absolute colossal failure, obviously, if the Giants don't get John Harbaugh. He's the legacy he's had, what he's done with the Ravens. I think, obviously, it's ran its course.
Yeah.
There, I think most coaches do after so many years, but what he's done for Lamar Jackson is something he could do for Jackson Dart.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw, like, with John, we saw, even though he comes from a special teams background, two young quarterbacks develop under his tutelage. Mm-hmm. Joe Flacco as a rookie quarterback got to the AFC Championship game, and obviously the success of Lamar Jackson. I am going to reach over to my drawer, and I'm going to take out an L. I won't take out the L if you just simply apologize for something you said earlier that you claimed you didn't say.
Wait a minute. Today?
Yes.
You know what? I don't care if I have to wear the L. I'm now just really curious what you mean.
What I mean? Well, earlier in the show, it wasn't even that earlier. It was probably like a half hour ago.
Yeah.
I got annoyed with you that you didn't come clean about Kevin Stefanski not actually coaching the one playoff win he had.
All right.
To which you said, hey, I was very careful to never say he won a playoff game.
Sure, exactly.
What if I told you that we have audio that proves that you did say he won a playoff game?
How do I know it's not AI?
Oh, God. Because we just had a guy who works here behind the scenes, Anthony Gallo, who does a great job, work his ass off after I was tipped off by somebody who I don't know if he wants his name out there as the tipper.
Then I'll take just the tip. Give me the tip of the L.
You're going to take the L?
What do I care? So what? Then I accidentally said something I didn't realize I said?
After you
just crushed the whole draw.
Oh, crap. Take the L, and here's the audio of earlier today, Sean Morash saying Kevin Stefanski won a playoff game, even though he later claimed he never said he won a playoff game.
Rex is very upset that Kevin Stefanski is getting so much credit for doing what he did with Cleveland, and Rex just sits on the pine after he did what he did with the other equivalent of Cleveland, the Jets.
Well, let's be fair. Who has a better winning percentage in their career, Kevin Stefanski or Rex Ryan?
Rex.
Okay, let's go to the playoff wins. Kevin has one. Rex has four. So who has more playoff wins?
Rex.
Who's been to two championship games?
Rex.
So Rex is making a fair point, is he not?
He is.
Crap.
Here's your L back.
You don't actually say it.
I told you I didn't say it.
Who tipped me off?
You asked me. Good job, Gallo.
Well, Evan, you do say he has one playoff win, and Sean, I think, says correct.
Yeah. No, you
did I?
Yes. Yes. Play that part again, because even if you don't actually say he won a playoff game, if you are saying correct to me saying he won a playoff game when you knew he didn't coach that game, that is absolutely L-worthy. Absolutely L-worthy.
Here, let's hear it.
All right, let's hear it. Connor, second. Career, Kevin Rex. Stefanski, Rex. Or Rex Ryan.
Rex.
Okay, let's go to the playoff. Damn it. Damn it. By the way, next time, Gallo, if you don't find it, just let it die.
Yeah. Good job, Gallo.
Don't bring the audio.
Way to go. You're going to need more than a pea shooter to come at me. I know what I said.
I was told by somebody very reliable that you did, and so after the show, I will do this on my own. There's certain ways to find it.
No, say names now. You want to out me? Say names. I want names. Who outed me for something they were wrong on?
I don't feel like I should do that.
Out me. Out them.
I feel like I need to ask the person.
Well, somebody listening, go ahead.
But I don't want this person to not out you anymore because I outed them, so I'm not going to out them.
Oh, you are ridiculous.
Someone from the morning show. All right, how about that?
All right. Al, I thought we had a nice conversation about Megan Maroney.
Let's be honest. You know that Boomer doesn't listen.
Uh-huh.
Al's probably not listening. Gio's not listening.
Jerry! Oh, Jerry. Well, one less thing for him to pull the plate at update tomorrow morning.
I love Jerry.
I love Jerry, too.
He just wanted to call you out when you lied to me. That's all. I appreciate that.
But I didn't. So, apologize to me.
Do you want me to apologize to you?
You should apologize.
I apologize. I thought I had you. I still think I'm going to get you, but at least for now, probably for the rest of the show, I do not have you.
Okay.
And that's okay. Let's go to Santo in Milford. What's up, Santo?
Hello. I just got a question for you, Evan, mostly.
Yes.
Because Sean, you know, he gets a little crazy. I want to know if you think, non-biased, that Joe Shane would rather hire Kevin Stefanski because he can control better, like, what he does, and he'll be, like, more of a mouthpiece, rather than him hire John Harbaugh and kind of feel, like, overthrown.
That's a great question, and it's... Before
you cut me, I just want to tell Sean Marash that Giants Nation show is 10 times better than Talking Giants.
I mean...
He did podcast trash talk trash on talk. Your
I head. Love Giants Nation show. Not better than
Is that Bobby
Giants.
Skinner?
Yeah,
Bobby's I like great Bobby's
too.
Tremendous.
I like Bobby. These people out there think because I replaced Bobby that somehow there's some kind of war. Got news for you. There ain't.
Nah, listen, the podcasts are all families.
Of course.
Like me and other Mets podcasts. I got no issues with anybody.
Of course.
And you don't have issues with Giant podcasts.
No, except Giants Nation. They're not paying their interns. It's bad over there.
I thought that was you.
No, we're good.
I'm a big fan of Giants Insider.
Yeah.
I feel like the Giants have like such a good mix of podcasts.
They do. Inconvenient like, Bluth, another good one.
I haven't heard that one. I'm sure they're great.
I have no idea who does. I just love the name.
Oh, okay. How about Believe in Giants? Isn't that the Carl Banks, Bob Papa one?
Believe. Yeah, very good. Carl had a banner year.
Yeah, no, he was great. Do I think Joe Shane would prefer a coach that he has more of a chance to control than John Harbaugh? I'm going to naively say no. I think that Joe's desperate. I think he wants to win. And I think he knows the best way to keep his job, whether it's John Harbaugh, Kevin Stefanski, Clint Kubiak, or whomever, is to just get wins.
Yeah.
And so I think when you're at this stage of we just need to win, I would think he's going to prefer the best head coach, even if it's the one that will diminish his power and the credit that he gets.
I disagree. I think he'd rather Stefanski be here.
All right, fair enough. Let's go. I mean, we're speculating on a man's brain.
Of course. You know? Which is hard to do.
It's like asking Craig, did he want the ratings to be good after he left or bad? Like,
yeah.
I mean, he'll always be nice to me and say, I want them to be great, but it's private. Like, I don't know. Francesa, the same thing. They're all the same.
We all love Craig. Day two, I'm watching the WFAN Twitter page. We're already doing the Madison Square Garden popcorn bit.
What are you talking about?
He loves the MSG popcorn. Day two, he's already eating it.
Why are you attacking my guy?
I love Craig. But if you're going to do it, can we bring in the popcorn for everybody?
No.
It's so great. Day two?
I think I'm banned from having garden popcorn.
Why?
Because I
you're a season ticket holder.
I think one time I said the Barclays Center popcorn is better.
Oh.
And we had a little bit of, you're never going to get the popcorn again.
All I heard was Craig coming back food. He brings back one thing of popcorn. Nothing for anybody else.
Well, I mean, you want some? Why don't you go ask him? Do you like the garden popcorn?
I've never had it.
Nah, it's actually very good. I remember when he told me that, and I was like, threw it aside. When I did try it the day I went. Because that was my combat. If he wasn't going to allow me to have garden popcorn, I'll go in there and buy it myself, which I did. And it was actually very good, I must admit. Let's go to John in Pittsburgh. Hey, John. Hello, John.
Hey, Evan, Sean, thanks so much for taking the call. Listen, Evan, you and I are similar ages. We've suffered through the pain of being a Jets fan for 4 years. Really quick questions for you, yes or no, and then I'll tell you why I think Cliff Kingsbury should be the coach.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Yeah.
All right. How do you feel confident that Aaron Glenn and Tanner Estrem can develop a quarterback this year?
No.
Okay.
No.
Overall, do you think that Aaron Glenn will, try to move up in any way with the draft capital since do you think he's on the hot seat for next year or two if he goes in year two as head coach?
Do I think he's on the hot seat? Not really. Like, Woody Johnson has shown a loyalty in the first few years to some of his head coaches, so I don't think he's on the hot seat, though some people may disagree with me on that.
All right, let me tell you why I think Cliff Kingsbury should be the next head coach of the Jets, because I think, Evan, to your point, how realistic is it Harbaugh or Stefanski are going to the Jets?
Right.
I don't think it's realistic at all. Harbaugh has too much of a track record of success to go there and jeopardize his legacy, and Stefanski just left the Browns, which is a dumpster fire like the Jets. Cliff Kingsbury is perfect for the Jets, and here's why. With the Cardinals and with the Commanders, he got Kyler Murray and Jaden Daniels to be Offensive Rookie of the Year. If the Jets are drafting a quarterback this year, this is their guy. That's it, plain and simple. If you really believe that Glenn and Estrem can't develop a quarterback, we have 5 first-round picks, guys. This is a golden opportunity to get an offensive coach who has a track record of developing rookies. Both of, he went to the playoffs, and the only reason that he lost that job is because Kyler Murray prefers to play Call of Duty on his Xbox instead of being an NFL quarterback.
Well, I have a bet. I'm going to take your idea and up it a little bit. Cliff Kingsbury is removed as the OC of the Washington Commanders. He's going to go for head coaching interviews. I don't ultimately think he's going to get a head coaching job,
yeah,
which means he's going to be an OC again. How about Woody Johnson opens up the pocketbook, Aaron Glenn opens up his mind, and Cliff Kingsbury becomes the new offensive coordinator for the New York Jets?
Yeah.
What's the problem with that? That's where he's probably going to end up anywhere as an offensive coordinator. So yeah, instead of just giving up on Glenn and blowing the whole thing up for a guy who had some success in Arizona but ultimately failed, how about you get both and you bring him in as the OC?
There is more to the Cliff Kingsbury fallout in Washington.
Go.
All right, Jordan Schultz says this. Part of the issue the Commanders have had in the building is the front office meddling with the coaching staff on personnel and which players to use, yada, yada, yada. Moreover, they've not gotten the impression Dan Quinn wanted to move on from his coordinators. The entire disconnect heading into 2026, there's a lot of bleep going on there. So it seems like Adam Peters is calling out who Dan Quinn can have on his staff and what they're doing with the team. So it feels like, you know, all this talk about Kingsbury's now getting a blemish.
Yeah, yeah.
Dan Quinn didn't want to let go of Cliff Kingsbury.
No, I gotcha. But he still lost his job. Give me examples, and I actually don't know the answer. Maybe you could ask AI. How many times has a coordinator been fired and immediately got a head coaching job? When does that happen?
Good question.
I would almost guess it doesn't happen very often. As our last caller was asking me those yes or no questions, it did remind me of something I referred to earlier, and that was when me and Joe, in this very time slot, had Brian Costello on, and Joe asked Brian, the great reporter that he is, will Adam Gase be the coach in, like, the next couple of years? And when Adam Gase, or Brian Costello, I should say, said no, Joe had this visceral reaction. That was the visceral reaction. Here is the entire exchange. You guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Is Adam Gase coaching his team 3 years from now? I want you to absolutely. What do you think?
No shot.
I don't think so. I mean, the way this is right now.
The way it was all set up to.
Oh, like, and it does apply to Aaron Glenn.
It does. Dude, I know I'm in a tough spot here because I'm arguing against myself. I'm being honest, though.
I know.
I don't want to pull the plug on this guy after 1 year. I think the difference between Gase and Glenn, in my opinion,
Glenn is a weird guy.
I never wanted Gase. And right, so I was out on him before it started. I believed in Aaron Glenn, and there's a small, tiny part of me that still does. And I just don't want to blow it up after 1 year unless I'm getting the ready-made sure thing like John Harbaugh, which they're not.
All right. Listen, when Harbaugh wins his third Super Bowl with Jackson Dart and you're sitting there.
Third Super Bowl.
You're sitting there on your fourth coach by that point since Aaron Glenn. You're going to look back on this day in
front. Connor, he's such a pig that instead of saying, like, championship game or a Super Bowl, he actually went to, what, fourth Super Bowl? Third Super Bowl?
Third Super Bowl. Not even when they make the playoffs, when they win 10 games, when they win their third Super Bowl. No.
We get Harbaugh, we're chasing down Andy Reid Mahomes.
This is why the non-Giant fan is going to have a tough time rooting for the Giants because of you.
Remember, did you see what Dart did to Bellinger on Sunday? Yeah. That's Mahomes-esque.
I gotcha. When we come back, we'll talk to Connor Hughes of SNY. The latest on the Giants' pursuit of John Harbaugh. I'll even ask him, like, is it possible for the Jets to pull something like this off? We'll get all the information we need about this coaching situation from the great Connor Hughes, who joins us in a few short minutes.